Let it fade right out. Don't talk, Rory. Just let it fade. Just let it keep fading. It's still there. Don't interrupt it. Just let it fade right out. Right out. Welcome
to the Purity of the Goose podcast.
Yeah. Just two of us here today. Staring at each other.
Staring at each other. But a sufficient two.
Let's find out.
I would say sufficient. I would replace the word just with...
If it was any sufficient. Other two...
I might be just
insufficient.
Too. Insufficient.
Yeah.
Now we're treading on dangerous territory right now by denigrating other members of the Goose. Why? That's the first time I've said the Goose as their name.
Oh, rather than Goose.
Goose. Yeah.
Interesting. It's confusing. I mean, somehow it seemed to make sense that we were a group called Goose and the show was called the Goose.
Maybe that makes sense why I said the Goose.
Yeah. The show is the Goose. We are Goose.
Is the show The Goose because musically that works better in the lyrics of the theme song than Goose, The Goose?
No. I think...
It's The Goose podcast.
People were talking about calling it The Goose Radio Show or something.
Yeah,
and then
so there's the definition.
We just stuck... I think it kind of makes things sound interesting if you just put on the or take away the.
Yeah, from where it would or wouldn't ordinarily be.
Yeah,
Invert-ty.
Like when Ang Lee brought out Hulk rather than the Hulk.
Was that the first one or the second? That was the first one, wasn't it?
That was the, yeah, the one
that was
with
terrible.
The Australian fella.
That was terrible.
Yeah, I didn't see the...
That was on a transatlantic flight I was on. Not just transatlantic, but Transamerica too, from Dublin to Los Angeles. And I wouldn't watch it. I watched 2 minutes of it and it was
You'd
so
already,
bad.
Oh, you just saw 2 minutes and that
I saw
was
2 minutes of it and it was enough to... I like, this is terrible.
Yeah, I'm never big into the superhero films, so I watched cinema, but that was maybe one of the breaking points. It didn't seem that horrifically bad, but people don't remember it fondly now.
Yeah, I think it got trashed in the
at the time.
Culture. Yeah.
It has since been trashed, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes things come out, and people are like, yeah, it's good. It's like an Emperor's New Clothes kind of thing, until eventually it's like, actually... I always hated that. Did you always hate that?
But then other times there's classics that 30 or 40 years previous didn't do well. But you know, in the modern day they're considered classics.
Yeah.
No example comes to mind.
It's a Wonderful Life was not successful when it was released.
Okay.
But it was very cheap. And so it was put on at Christmas time over and over by these, whatever you call them, cheap channels in the States.
Maybe that's why it's popular, because people have nostalgia for it from when
exactly.
they were kids.
And I watched it
Maybe
a couple of
years
ago.
Maybe it's not such a wonderful life. Maybe it's a very mediocre life.
It was pretty mediocre, actually.
But you watch it as a kid.
It's one of those films as well that when you watch it, there's so many reference points that you've kind of seen most of it.
In pop culture.
Yeah. Like The Simpsons have done it so many times that you're like, this bit.
For example, I've never seen Forrest Gump, but I feel like I know it intimately. Not intimately, that's an exaggeration. But I feel like I know Forrest
Gump. You caressed it. You loved it.
I've nuzzled at its bosom. It's cinematic bosom, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, listeners. Right, let's not get your mind out of the gutter.
let's stop thinking of Rory, even though you probably don't have a picture of his face nuzzling up to Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Come on.
There's
a lot of bits in Forrest Gump, though.
Yeah, because
what bits does spring to mind? Run, Forrest, run.
Well... The bit that I absolutely despise with every bone in my body, I really despise it so much, is the line, life is like a box of chocolates.
You may
have heard me say this before, but you do know what you're going to get in a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of 12 variants, caramel, Brazil nut, Turkish delight.
It says on the box.
It says on the box, and there's a little inlay card that tells you.
And
you've gotten boxes of chocolates
in a way,
before.
Life is often like that. You know, you do know what you're going to get, and then you're disappointed.
But I feel the movie was trying to make a different point. The movie was trying to say it's like such full of variety.
I still, like, that's another one that people loved at the time, Tom Hanks got an Oscar, but then people have soured on it since. I'm like, oh, that's a stupid film.
Really? I mean, I feel like some people have, but I feel like a lot of people still consider it a classic.
Maybe.
It's weird for me to think that films from the 90s are now classics. But look, that's the aging process. Once you get older, you know, let's not bemoan the passage of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still enjoy Forrest Gump. But the thing I was going to say about it was, what confuses me, I watched it again a few years ago, I was like, this is pretty good, but it seems confused as to whether Forrest Gump is just a bit slow, if that's a technical term, or if he's mentally disabled.
Right. It was, yeah.
I think they were aiming for, he's just, you know, he's a bloke, but he's just a little bit slow.
Yeah.
But something in Tom Hanks' portrayal makes it seem like he's mentally disabled, and then you're like, is this right anymore to watch? Or?
And also there's been a big jump in political correctness in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less, you can get away with that less today than you would like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Just in portrayal of, in an ambiguous way, just to make a good film.
Yeah, nice try, Tom Hanks, but we're up to you.
Tom Hanks,
we know
and
what you're at.
Bob Zimmerman, not Zimmerman, that's Zemeckis, Robert Zemeckis, close. Sorry, I was thinking crossing Robert Zemeckis with Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just the two of us today. I thought we could put a place a bet on as to how long it'll take till we're just having a staring contest in silence. When do you reckon we're going to run out of things to say to each other?
We've been doing pretty good so far.
We have.
But maybe, you know, it's front-loaded.
we planned out that whole thing about films that sour after a while for quite, like, we've been talking for the last 5 hours to plan that bit.
It came off the tongues. That's a weird turn of phrase. it came across pretty fresh, even though we'd rehearsed it for hours.
Well, that's the rehearsal process.
Yeah, just hone it for perfection. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's summertime.
It is.
You may be able to hear, listeners,
the din of revelers outside.
Yep.
We're broadcasting above a pub in Dublin city centre.
Yeah. We won't tell them where, just in case things go awfully badly and they want to break down this door and come and take us.
That happened last time, folks, so.
Yeah.
That joke didn't work. they're not all winners. They're not all winners.
Yeah. So it's summertime and I'm slightly tanned for an Irish person.
Yeah. Well, you have a, what's the word? Not swarthy. That's horribly politically incorrect. Not olive. Sallow. Is it sallow?
Sallow, sure. Yeah.
I mean, Mark is tan for an Irish person.
But yet, somewhere my genes get mixed up and I don't like the heat that much. It was like a few years ago, it was a really sunny day and I was like, oh great, I'll go and sit outside. And after a while, I said, actually, you know, I don't really enjoy this.
Yeah.
I feel like I should because it's sunny so little in Ireland that you're like, okay, you got to get outside.
But I mean, do you mean just go outside and sunbathe?
Satin red, yeah.
Yeah, you see, that's just boring for me.
Yeah.
Like regardless
I was reading, so that was supposed to be entertainment, but then I just went inside and read.
Yeah.
And that was a lot more comfortable.
I feel like reading inside is just a much more comforting way to do it. Like, it's like you'll see women especially be like, oh, it's sunny, and they're in the bikini and they're out reading because they want to tan.
Yeah.
I don't know that sunny weather compliments reading.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's the optimal compliment
to reading.
Yeah,
you can't read the book. It's all shiny and bright.
Yeah.
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 But I have this thing about summer. I think we're going to get 20 minutes out of this now.
Okay.
Or two sentences. That it's, I always find it interesting. For years I've been thinking about this. It's like, do you wash more clothes in the summer or in the winter? Because you're wearing more clothes in the winter, but your clothes get stinkier faster in the summer.
They get stinkier faster. Mm. They do.
So
mine, I've been worried about me. I've been worried about me lately.
Oh, that you're stinking?
Yeah.
Mm. What do you do? Do you have emergency deodorant?
Well, I would if I'm carrying my backpack, but oftentimes I'm not.
Yeah. What are you going to do then?
If it was an absolute emergency, I could go into my gym and shower. Like, if I was on my way to a meeting somewhere, but that's not practical.
Extreme.
That's not practical.
You're sitting there having a pint.
Yeah.
Actually, guys.
Guys, I'll be back in 20 minutes. And I come back fragrant, you know, and slap on, buy some Axe body spray and the test.
But you'd have to lose your clothes because they're stinking now. So
that's it.
You'd come back in the gym towel.
Same stinky clothes, you'd be... You'd almost feel worse because you know you've just showered. And yet...
Putting
on the old clothes.
We met up earlier. I cycled home and the shirt I was wearing was covered in sweat. I took it off. I put on this t-shirt that you're now seeing. And then, now just as we were leaving, I put that shirt back on.
The old one?
Yeah, and then I was like, No, you will not. You will not subject Rory to this.
Yeah.
I never really wear deodorant, but I have emergency deodorant with me at all times.
I do wear deodorant.
Yeah.
I'm just worried now that it's not enough. I'm a smelly bastard.
You need more powerful.
I've just killed my social capital. I mean, what little I had.
I would jump in here and say, no, I don't think I've noticed you stinking that much.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Certainly not now.
Good.
We're across the table from each other.
Yeah. No, I think now I'm in a good place.
If it ends up with this being a wrestle of the two of us, then
Who knows?
We'll discover the real smells.
We shall.
Yeah.
We shall. Anyway.
Yeah.
We have a show about music. Is that correct, Mark?
Yeah. Well, we thought we might play some tunes. If I can locate them. We thought we just both brought in a few cover versions that we liked to play and discuss.
Lyrical.
And wax lyrical on cover versions. What makes a good cover version?
It's interesting. I don't know that I can formulate a formula.
I think it's often making it sound like
different.
Different to the original song.
Yeah, I think
song.
It has to sound different. Because if you're covering a song that was great,
yeah,
and you're trying to capture that sound, well, guess what? You didn't do it as well as the original.
Yeah.
So I think it does have to sound different.
So this song is fairly different. This is my first choice.
Okay.
And it's 2.5 minutes. This song is by the Futureheads. Have you ever heard of them?
Heard of them. I haven't heard their stuff though.
They're really good. They're mostly a rock band.
Okay.
Guitars and shit. But they also do an a cappella version of the song a cappella, which is originally by Khalees. Have you ever heard of Khalees?
I've heard of her, and I know her Milkshake song, right? That's
yep, that's Khalees. Her.
And I saw a clip of her on Glastonbury recently, but that's it.
Let me see if I can find a cappella by Khalees. Oh, this is looking weird. She spells a cappella wrong for a start.
You think they would have caught that in the whole, marketing process.
Oh, she doesn't appear to be on Spotify, so, screw that. But, so I was just going to play it. It's a kind of banging club song from Khalees, but this is the a cappella version by the Futureheads.
Okay, let's listen.
I was walking, was living, my melody was a cappella. There's a beat I was missing, no tune or a scale I could play. The sound in the distance, no orchestra playing together. Like a boat out to sea, the silence was too deafening. Come and revive me, I can't feel my heartbeat, just me surviving alone. Before you, my whole life was a cappella. Now a symphony is the only song to sing. Before you, my whole life was a cappella. Now a symphony is the only song to sing.
Everything was the same. So that was a cappella.
So how much do you love that song? Do you love it?
I do love it, yeah.
See, people's musical taste is interesting because I am perfectly indifferent to it. Like,
really?
I recognize that it's a good song, it's well done, but it just doesn't push my buttons.
Mm.
But you love it.
Mm. I love that. I was thinking like it is fairly commonplace to do an a cappella versions of songs.
Which is fine. I mean,
like, a cappella groups in the States are pretty big.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah, in colleges in the States.
Actually, I just realized how big they are when I watched a movie, Pitch Perfect. Have you heard of Pitch Perfect?
Yes.
I was subjected to it.
Yeah, I heard it was good, and then I watched it and was like, that wasn't that good.
Here's the thing. I think I had an idea for my own podcast called Is It Good? Where I and a guest critically break down films or books.
Yeah.
So, and the question isn't, do I like it, but is it good? And Pitch Perfect, I think, is a good movie. Like, it's a chick flick. More, it definitely skews, but it's about female a cappella. But I think for what it is, it's well done.
One of the problems I had with that film was, what's that woman's name? The slightly larger lady.
Rebel Wilson. Let's be honest, she's not slightly larger.
In case she's listening.
Okay.
I liked her. People are like, she's just funny.
I thought she was just funny.
You thought she was just funny.
She was funny. I did.
Okay, I didn't. Yeah. And I kind of felt like a lot of hers was improv stuff.
But it felt fresh to me. And sometimes, improvised stuff in a film, it won't anymore. Make sense, but...
Like, it started out with the joke about her was everyone thought she was gay, but she wasn't. And then it kind of turned into...
In real life or in the movie?
In the movie.
Oh, that's right.
And then it turned into, no, she is gay. Right, so what was the joke originally?
No, it wasn't her that was gay. It was a different woman.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm confused. You're confused. Anyway, I felt like there was a bit too much improv, maybe, in that film. Another woman who... I don't really get it, is the woman from Bridesmaids, the slightly larger lady.
Oh, Molly McCarthy? No, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
And I'm probably digging a very big hole for myself now, but you're being very diplomatic tonight with the slightly larger. I mean, because these are both big women.
Yeah. No, that's not the reason why I don't find them funny, but...
Oh, I know that, but it's just I also find it interesting the way... I think people nowadays have to be more careful with how they... use words.
Yeah.
And I get it that you should be in certain regards, but I don't know. Like, I think those are both larger ladies, and it's...
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay,
yeah.
To, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, I've just lost us most of our listenership by my lack
of
decorum.
We had such a fan base of slightly larger ladies. People were just like, oh, she's just hilarious. It's one of those things, often you find one of those actors breaks out, and then they're like, just put her in anything. Doesn't matter if the script is good. This is going to be good.
I've only seen a bit of Bridesmaids, and it looked decent, but she's also in that Mike and Molly, isn't she? That's a sitcom.
Yeah, sitcom.
Which
I've seen
terrible.
I haven't seen it. She's in a new film, which has just come out and got 1.5 stars on entertainment.ie, and I was like, yeah, I bet it is. Yeah.
But back to the song.
Back to A Cappella by the Future Heads.
Yeah, like, it's sure, Rory, it's a good song, but it's...
I think it's got a good, like, groove. Like,
it does.
Not groove, but like a pulse,
it's a bit funky,
to it.
Yeah,
it keeps you going. Do.
No, I can see that. I can see that. Like, is it a good song? I would say, yeah, it probably is. Do I like it? No.
So for Rory's new podcast,
is it any good?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, let's take one of your songs then, Bright Eyes.
Okay, cover version that I. All right. Well, up for debate. First of all, I think Johnny Cash had a late career renaissance with his covers.
Yeah.
And I guess the two songs, well, his version of Hurt.
Yeah.
And his version of I See a Darkness by Bonnie Prince Billy.
I haven't heard I See a Darkness. Should I hear Hurt or I See a Darkness?
These are both somber songs, but we can play
a snatch of it. Let's play...
Either. Yeah,
I found Hurt already, so let's just play some of that.
So on summary.
Let's talk all the way through it as well.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all.
Now, I think that's a great cover.
Yep.
And his version of I See a Darkness is a great cover. And yet I still find the originals to be superior. And I feel like superior is a bit of a... Is that appropriate in this conversation? Because they're great tracks individually. They're great tracks individually.
Get right up onto that mic.
There we go. But I feel like the originals...
I actually don't know the original.
Of this?
That's one of those cover versions that, Hurt. Or the Bonnie Prince Billy.
Yeah, the Bonnie Prince Billy one is not as well known.
Yeah. I think, that's a really good song. It was a big hit. And, Johnny Cash, certainly had that renaissance of cover versions.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, was it American 1, 2, 3, and 4?
Yeah.
But it was funny, as soon as you press play on that, and it's like, it's so somber and dark, and it's like, it's a glorious summer's day, and people are downstairs having their pints.
Yeah. Everyone doesn't... depress me too much.
It doesn't depress me at all, but I guess I'm kind of conscious of what other people find, like, oh god, not that, if it's a summer's day or something.
Well, listen, I mean, someone might be out there listening to this now,
and I might just send them over the edge.
And they're like, oh, I'll put on the Goose, and that'll
the Goose comedy show, yeah.
And oh no, oh, oh wow.
And kind of just before I came out, Father Ted was on, as it is wont.
Yeah, bring
to
up
be
Father
on.
Ted. Let's hopefully that'll.
No. But it was the episode where Tommy Tiernan plays the depressed priest.
Yeah.
So that
he's talked down from the ledge.
He's talked down,
and then he gets on the bus.
Yeah.
And
Radiohead is playing at the end, and
exit music is it?
So, yeah, I think something like that. Yeah. Seemed apropos.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Cash recorded a whole load of cover versions. There's a few others that have, like, let's just do covers. Like,
he did a cover of One also.
Yes.
Which is quite...
It's a good one as well.
A good one.
But I'm trying to think of other artists that decided, like, sometimes...
I feel like a lot of artists have done that, not to the extent that he did it. And it's a bit cynical in that, like, hey, let's just record somebody else's music. Whereas Johnny Cash was such a great artist that he could do that and give it new life.
Yeah, is it cynical?
Not when Johnny Cash did it, but I feel like with some artists, it's like, yeah, I feel that it's cynical in that, you know, they have a following, but they're probably stuck for material. Or it's hard to write good stuff, so let's just record, you know,
that song.
I mean, sorry to cut you off. I kind of feel like it's a way that they're remaking old movies and TV shows as movies now. It's just easier to do, right?
Yeah,
because people have heard of them. So 21 Jump Street, like, why?
Well, yeah, I don't know. 21 Jump Street, I think, actually, speaking of that, that was somebody had an original script for that. And then they said, actually, this is a bit too much like 21 Jump Street. And then they bought the rights to 21 Jump Street and said it's 21 Jump Street, even though it really wasn't in the first place.
Oh, really?
It wasn't written as 21 Jump Street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I feel like... I don't know why Hurt reminded me of that, but like Johnny Cash ended up just doing cover versions. I feel like Tim Burton is the cover version director now.
Don't get me started on Tim Burton.
Like, had a few good...
Is it any good? No, it's a Tim Burton movie. It's not.
He had a few good songs, and then it was like cover versions from here on out.
As in because he's done adaptations like Sweeney Todd
Endless.
And...
Like, he doesn't do anything new. Like, what was the last original thing he did?
You took a shit sometime in 1988.
That was a cover. That was just rehashed material.
Literally rehashed.
Yeah. I think maybe Corpse Bride was an original story. But apart from that, he did Beetlejuice. He did Edward Scissorhands originals. And then from there on in...
There was one he did, which I guess... Well, maybe it wasn't original in that it was a life story. And people love it, but I didn't like it. Edward...
Oh, Ed Wood, yeah.
Is that original? I mean, it's a life story.
Yeah, based on existing material, I guess. But that was one of the early ones as well, was...
94, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So earlier,
Yeah. Compared to Planet of the Apes, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Zero, dear. Just come up with something original,
Tim. Burton. If you're listening, Tim, just drop us an email and we'll collaborate, okay? Yeah. We'll get you back on track.
I mean, some of them worked out okay. I thought the Batmans were okay.
I don't like Batman movies.
Stared at me angry. I did. Well, I enjoyed them when I was a kid.
I'll be honest, Mark. I need to vent. I'm like you kind of touched upon it earlier, so I think I'm in safe territory here. But this is not why I'm bringing it up. But I'm so feckin' tired of superhero movies.
Yeah.
Where is the surprise in any of them?
Yeah. I was
like American. Tricked. Nobody is coming to save you.
I was tricked into seeing The Dark Knight. Like, I felt like within, like, Batman
that
Begins.
Christopher Nolan
was
stupid.
Okay. And then people were like, no, you've got to see The Dark Knight. No, okay, yeah, but I didn't enjoy Batman Begins that much, but yeah, you should see The Dark Knight. Sat down. I enjoyed the first scene, which is bank robbery with the Joker, and then from there on in, I was like, what did I do this for?
Yeah.
Why did I do this to myself? I knew this wasn't going to be good, and it isn't.
I also object to the fact where, like, a film will come out and it'll be the first in a trilogy, and people will be like, no, it was just setting up the later films. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
Since when have films become marketing devices for other films, you know? Like,
endless origin stories. Yeah. I guess maybe people are just looking for their own origin story.
Something, I suppose. There's some
bullshit.
Some bullshit.
Well, you see, this is it. Like, my cousin will go to anything that, as long as it was part of his childhood.
Yeah.
Like, listen, the A-Team's got terrible reviews. Why are you going to it? Well, I loved the old show. Just like, they're going to still... They're going to keep
up,
doing
buddy.
This.
Grow up. Have a life up. In the present day.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, they're just going to keep doing cover versions.
They are. Like, I went to see the first X-Men, like in 1999... The one that was out in 1999 or 2000.
Yeah,
2000. And up until that point, like, superhero movies weren't all that commonplace. You'd get one every few years.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was the start of this whole, like... Batman 12, Superman 18, then yeah, Batman yeah. and Superman yeah. together. But I watched that and I hadn't been familiar with X-Men before that, and I just thought it was silly. Stupid. Like, I really did.
It was, pretty much, yeah.
I went to see the first Harry Potter movie because my dad was over visiting me in Los Angeles, and my roommate wanted to go see it, so I was like, we'll take my dad to a fancy theater. And I just thought, this is probably a good kids' movie.
For your dad?
No, but it was a very popular movie, and, like, adults loved it. I was like... I didn't.
No. Well, didn't. Not really a superhero, but...
Is it any good? Harry Potter? No.
No.
But very profitable.
Let's take another song. Here's,
what's up next, Mark?
One from my selection. Okay, you'll definitely know this song.
But will I like it?
But will you like it? I really like this version from this band, which...
I'm not even going to look at who you type in. I'm just going to let the music fill my ears.
Okay.
And either delight or disgust me.
Yeah, sometimes underrated band. Okay, do this.
We are recording, aren't we, Mark? Because we have a light on there on the thing, right?
I think so.
Okay, good. Okay. No, it's not that. I saw this orange right here because that one is for us.
Bad feelings have disappeared. been praying for. It's gonna be a bright, such a shiny day. Bright, bright, such a shiny day.
The way I leave my songs go longer
yeah.
than Rory's choice. Well, we can leave that going a little bit in the background.
That's quite a 12-minute version of Led Zeppelin's whatever. That's a great cover version.
It is.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's really good. And I like the way it builds. And I like it's same as the Johnny Nash song. Like, it's about a kind of positive thing, and it really makes you feel positive. Like the way they really let rip at the end.
Sure.
You know, you're kind of like, yeah, we can do this.
Yeah. But I don't feel that's the criterion.
No, necessarily. But it works for the song.
Yeah,
I know. I find it very uplifting.
No, it does work. It is. This, I agree with you on that.
Well, thank you.
Oh, well, there we go.
Put me on the board.
Yes.
That's one
point
for me.
Canton. 28 for Brosnan as I'm doing the scoreboard. Mark gets to play more music of his. I get more points.
Yeah. Sorry, I was distracted with the music suddenly.
Oh, it's still playing as a mark? Is your song still playing?
Yeah, well, it's still there.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, that's good. That's nice. It's really smooth.
Oh.
Yep. What are your opinions on the Hot House Flowers?
Well, I've seen clips of Liam O'Mwainley, is that how you pronounce it? Like, doing gigs around Dublin. And I find that interesting because he was... Like, just the career of a successful artist. Because he was big back in the late 80s.
Yeah.
They were big, and I would assume going on into the early 90s.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, like, when we were growing up, we were the same age, you know, with somebody who was a pop star. They were automatically rich. And I don't know Mr. O'Mainley, and I'm sure I would imagine he's done okay for himself.
Yeah.
But, like, he was still gigging around Dublin, which is great to see. But also, I think there's... Just so much content out there, as they say, that having something these days.
I saw Liam O'Mainley queuing up in Centra. So that'll tell you.
Well, not that doesn't necessarily, because they, you know, people who've had success in the arts still have to
queue up in Centra.
Well, they still have to, they do, because they want those potato wedges. I assume was at the deli counter, wasn't the mark. He wanted the potato wedges with the barbecue sauce.
Hi, I'm
for €2.
Can I get some potato wedges and that whole roasted chicken, please?
Yeah. And there's a black cat over.
No, Liam O'Mainley just eats flowers and parsley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, of that album and particularly Songs from the Rain. By Hot House Flowers. And yeah. That's that. Okay. Another one of yours?
Okay, I have one. So the original is a terrible song.
Ooh.
It's a terrible performance. When it was an internet sensation a few years back.
Okay.
Can you take a few guesses? I don't think you read
it. I saw it on your sheet, yeah.
Okay. This was, I mean, the kids got this hundreds of millions of hits. And people above a certain age would just cringe at it. But then, the song I'm talking about, listeners, is Rebecca Black's Friday, which was just so cringeworthy. But then Stephen Colbert did a version of it, and it's great. And I guess the underlying music is good. So, you know, sometimes it does depend on the performance.
Is this on Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
You might have to
turn the music up.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably one of the tricks, yeah.
I'm waking up in the morning. Gotta be fresh. Gotta go downstairs. Gotta have my bowl. Gotta have my cereal. Seeing everything time is a-going. Taking on and on. Everybody's rushing. Gotta get down to the bus stop. Gotta catch my bus. I see my friend. Picking in the front seat, sitting in the back seat. Gotta make my mind up, which seat can I take? It's Friday, Friday. No one down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
Music, but I don't know music. That I'd listen to that on a regular
now,
basis.
As I was listening to it, I have to be honest, that I think what works for me is the video, because, like, obviously this is a radio show, so the listeners can't see that video, but he's, like, done up in a Frank Sinatra suit, and there's a bit of razzmatazz.
Yeah.
And it's just the fact that it is better than the original. Now, as I listen back, I don't think that's a classic song.
I was wondering there, like, Jimmy Fallon is very good at voices, and when he comes out and sings, he sounds... like he's got that
The auto-tune.
Yeah, I'm like, is he doing that by himself?
It's quite possible that it was an effect, and like this would have been rehearsed to the hilt.
Another amusing one that I enjoyed by Jimmy Fallon, again, this is only really amusing in that he does a very good Neil Young impression.
His Neil Young is amazing.
Yeah. Like me, Rory, you might not know the original song.
I'm somewhat familiar with it. Not the whole lot. It's the Jaden Smith.
Yeah,
isn't it? I think I heard it once. It was god awful.
Some bullshit thing.
Yeah.
But the Neil Young impression is good. And then I'm gonna cut to later. A cameo comes in, which is pretty cool. That's Bruce Springsteen dressed as young Bruce Springsteen for some reason.
Bruce is doing a really good impression of a young Bruce Springsteen.
Whip your hair.
Whip
sounds like an older Bruce Springsteen than he actually is. Now that bit there, like, goes beyond the cover version. Yeah, the original. In the, like, I often end up singing, oh, whip your hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Comedy cover versions you brought into the mix there, Rory.
I did. Mark, do you have any idea what people did for entertainment before the internet?
They looked at VHS tapes.
Before that,
they talked to each other.
Yes,
they did.
I did a little research.
Yeah.
On parlor games.
Oh, okay.
Old parlor games, and some of these are fucking brilliant. They are really good. This one, I think, will be amazing to play. I might plan a night, some night where I have friends around, and we play this. It's called Bullet Pudding.
Okay.
It was played.
Sounds dangerous. Feel like that microphone could be closer to your mouth, Rory.
Is this better? So it was called Bullet Pudding. This game was played in the Regency era. Was that like 17th century? 1600s? About then. Give or take a century.
Yeah.
1500s? No.
George the Fourth.
Anyway, the big wigs.
Yeah.
The big wigs.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bullet Pudding. To play this game, you assemble a mountain of flour. Okay. You get, like, a serving platter, and you assemble, like, a two-foot-high mountain of flour. Peaks at the top, like a mountain, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you put a bullet on the top, right?
Right.
And then people...
You need a bullet for this game, okay.
You do need a bullet, but this is back, like, in, you know, in the era when people had blunderbusses and muskets and stuff.
Okay, those didn't have bullets, but...
Oh, okay, well, yeah. they had bullets. Anyway, a bullet.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you put a bullet at the top, and then the players took turns to poke holes in the mountain of flour...
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a primitive version of Jenga, okay?
Yeah.
And the person who made the bullet fall into the flower then had to put their hands behind their back, plant their face in the flower, fish the bullet out of the flower with their mouth, and this is a serious bit. They had to make sure that they didn't laugh too much, because if they did, they might inhale all the flour and choke to death.
All the flour or the...
Or the bullet. The bullet. Or the bullet. But I think that would be hilarious.
I would guess it may be a musket ball. Yeah.
Or something. A bullet is what I said on the internet, and it must be true.
Yeah.
But that sounds hilarious, to me at least. Mark seems unimpressed. Are you unimpressed?
So how does it involve the... just stick your finger into the...
Basically, yeah. So you stick your finger into the mountain of flour, making holes in it.
Yeah.
Kind of excavating it.
Yeah.
Thus making the flour unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, when enough... holes had been poked, the bullet would, like the flower would cave down, the bullet would get lost inside the flower.
Yeah.
So there'd be a big...
And then you have to go and find it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Mark's very
fun.
It sounds hilarious.
You had me at bullet.
Yeah.
Any games involving bullets, I'm up for it. You know that.
Well, you should have seen the Russian roulette game we played at Mark's theater.
Yeah, we had a different white powder for that one.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I can't remember. Fuck it.
Then there was Are You There, Moriarty, which was played, unsurprisingly, in the Victorian era.
Yes.
After the Sherlock Holmes villain.
Yes. Remind me of that one. I think I've heard of this one.
Okay. Very, very simple game, but I think would be very fun to play. So it's a two-player game, but typically it would be, you know, there would be a large group of people, but two people at a time. Each put a blindfold on. Then they lie down on their bellies. They hold the other person's hand. And in their other hand, they have a rolled up newspaper.
Yeah.
One person shouts, "Are you there, Moriarty?"
Is this a sexual game?
No, not at all.
Could it be played as a sexual game?
I'm not going to make that joke because it's about assault.
Is it okay?
Because this is a game of assaulting the other person. So you,
right?
Each player is wearing a blindfold.
Yeah.
They're lying down on their bellies,
holding
the other person's hand.
Yeah.
And in their other hand, they have a newspaper. The first person says, "Are you there, Moriarty?" And the second person says, "Yes." And the first person hits them. And that's it. With the newspaper.
Is that a game?
I don't know, but it sounds like you're just whacking each other. Maybe the element of chance is that, you know, you don't see where they are, but they're right in front of you. How can you not know?
You're holding their hand.
I mean,
I feel like there's something missing to this game, Rory. This cannot be. It's just hitting somebody with a newspaper.
Yeah, but you're blindfolded and on your belly. You are. So I think the physical aspect.
Oh, you're on your belly.
You're on
your back. Okay.
No. You're on your belly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds
but
good.
Just picture like a group of 20 people, and you know, and you're watching your two friends do this.
Yeah.
You do it,
and they're naked.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's you know, I didn't say that. This next one is. Oh, it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's really stupid.
Yeah.
I feel like the people who played this. From the 16th to the 19th century.
I feel like you've invented these games.
No, you can
just so you can build up to one. And this is the one that I'd like us to play, Mark. Let's get down on the floor and wrestle.
Yeah.
Okay.
This next one is just stupid. I feel like the people who play this would really resent us in the 21st century for having the internet.
Yeah.
And all the fun.
Yeah.
Of the internet. Snapdragon. We've all heard that term, right?
What does that mean?
Well, I'd heard the term Snapdragon.
Okay.
I didn't know what it referred
to.
And you fill a bowl with brandy, and you put in several raisins or plums. You let them fall to the bottom. You light the brandy, and then you try to take out the raisins or plums without totally incinerating your arm. Like, that's the game. Like,
yeah.
It's just the chance involved in that game is like, what's the chance of burning all my arm as opposed to just a bit of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's...
Similar to, like, there's not a lot of gameplay, or...
At least with the Are You There Moriarty, there's, like, you might get hit in the ear or the forehead. You know, you might get to ground just next to you, you know? You're putting your hand into a bowl of flames. and then at the end, the plum isn't even going to taste that nice.
No.
You know, it's probably burnt, too.
Burnt. Alcohol plum.
Yeah.
Mm.
If there was a fresh plum... That hadn't been put in.
How fast did it deteriorate into, let's put your plums into the bowl of brandy?
By your plums, you mean...
Balls.
Balls, yeah. I was going to say genitals, but genitals is far creepier than saying balls. So I'm glad that you said balls. That brings up an interesting anecdote for me. During my fabled GAA career, I was sent off once in my entire career. I was a tough player, but a clean player. Anyway, I was marking this guy in a quarterfinal, right? And I was the cornerback, he was the corner forward, and he was dirty. He was trying to get me sent off. So he kept on niggling me and doing things, and I didn't bite. And then in the second half, he grabbed my balls.
Yeah.
He grabbed my balls.
Yeah.
So I punched him in the stomach, which, if you're going to punch somebody, that's the safest way to do it. But he went down like a ton of bricks. And there was a bit of a crowd at this match. And... I shouted, to defend myself, ref, he grabbed my testicles. And everybody started laughing, and I could never... Because I figured that was less sexual and less, like, than saying balls. I figured it was more clinical, you know?
Yeah.
But everybody started laughing, and I didn't live that one down for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A friend of a friend of mine told the story to my friend. Said, yeah, I was worried about a lump on my testicle, so I went to the doctor. And it was kind of embarrassing, this man, you know, feeling my testicles. he reaches up, the doctor reaches up, feels the testicles, like, a little small. I wasn't asking for an appraisal, I was asking if I have cancer. A little small, I mean, I prefer them bigger, but, you know, that's generally fine.
See, that's... He should have been... I assume he didn't have cancer, right?
He's dead now, yeah.
Oh.
No, he didn't have cancer.
He should have been coming out of there delighted that he didn't have cancer. But instead, he's coming out disappointed
looking
that
at
he
the
has
downside.
Small balls.
Small balls.
That's terrible doctor technique.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Terrible, yeah.
I feel like the doctor...
On the plus side, no cancer. Negative side...
But it should have just been a pure win for him. Like, don't have cancer.
Mm.
It's like, no, I don't have cancer, but I do have tiny balls.
Yeah. Have you ever had your balls felt by the doctor?
No, but I should have, really, shouldn't I?
Yeah,
you're
not that old, yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not. I'm 58. but I guess, you know, modern health practice, you should have a checkup.
You should check yourself.
Or did I?
Before you wreck yourself.
Maybe I did.
You'd think you'd remember, but just so many people have felt your balls, Rory.
They all blend in, the faces, you know.
One of them in the nightclub turned out to be my doctor. Yeah. So that was handy.
Yeah.
Two birds with one stone.
There you go. He still billed me.
I did, but I don't have anything amusing to say about it, actually, so I don't know why I brought it up.
You did feel my testicles?
Yes. One of many. It's the game you said?
Yeah, it's called...
Feel My Balls, Moriarty?
Dangle My Dingle.
Yeah.
Dingle My Dangle. Mm-hmm. And there are others, I don't know that we have to get into all them. One has the worst name ever.
Okay.
I feel like the game could actually be kind of fun.
Yeah.
But the name is just so off-putting. It's called Prussian Exercises. Can you imagine you're having a draft of whatever they had back in, I don't know what time it was, but 100 or 200 years ago.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, you know what, lads? Let's play Prussian Exercises.
Yeah.
You'd be like, no.
What happens in Prussian Exercises?
Prussian Exercises.
Don't leave us hanging here.
Yeah, I should explain. One person is the captain, and everybody else stands in rank and file for formation. And then the captain gives them things to do that they have to follow the captain's orders.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do that until they're bored. Then they get down on one knee, and the captain pushes the person at the end onto his neighbor so that they all fall down like a game of dominoes. That's it. I feel like it could actually be okay because
yeah,
you could
it
get your...
seem like a game.
No, but I feel like
it's the winner here.
At first, I was like, "Well, that's just a bit bizarre," but I think it could be fun because you get your friends to do weird things, right?
Yeah,
and then at the end, you all fall onto each other, which you know might be fun.
Kinky, yeah.
No.
If your doctor happens to be in the room, sure, you get a free checkup.
There you go.
I feel like I'm glad to see that, you know, not only has technology advanced,
but our sense of play.
Games have advanced since then.
I have to admit, yeah, all these seem a bit underwhelming, except, what was it called? Bullet pudding.
Bullet pudding.
That sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm just be concerned about choking on the flour.
Yeah. Myself and some friends did one of those things, which was brilliant fun, but probably incredibly
dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. We were away in my friend's cottage in Sligo, and...
That was the start of the danger right there.
That was the start of the danger. Oh, my God. We were at the top of this hill. The cottage was at the top of this hill, and we were there late at night, and there was some candles or something. I can't remember, and I feel like it was me said...
Was it a game of... What's that game where you summon the devil?
It was not.
No. What's the name of that?
A seance?
No. Ouija board.
A Ouija board.
It wasn't that.
Well, that's ghosts. I think you're talking to ghosts.
Okay.
Maybe you're talking to the devil.
Yeah, the occult.
See who you can get. Yeah.
Ring. Whoever's at home.
Ring and see who you find. Yeah.
There you go.
No, it wasn't a Ouija board. There was something, had a flame, and I said, hey, can we fire this down the hill? And so we did. We took out the tennis racket and fired the candle down the hill. Then we started lighting tennis balls.
Wow. Mark, you always seem such a...
We covered them in paraffin and smacked them down the hill. That was pretty fucking cool.
Were they alight? Did you light them?
Yeah. So this was the trick. You
would light it on the ground and then use the tennis racket to...
I think someone had the tongs from the fireplace.
Okay.
No, we started with the coal from the fire. Let's light the coal, fire that down the hill. Then a tennis ball covered in paraffin. Now, the problem was, the first one was brilliant. We had a few tennis balls. The first one was brilliant because I didn't hit it that hard. The second one, I hit it so hard that I snuffed it out, like I deprived it of oxygen.
The physics of it.
Yeah. That was a lesson to be learned.
Yeah.
Then there was a candle, like a garden candle.
Yeah.
And so we lit that, and then my friend...
Was this related at all to the big arson
to the
summer
big
in Sligo?
Sligo massacre.
Yeah, similar time, I think.
Then my friend said, hey, you know you can light flour. And I was like, no, I didn't know you could light flour. If you get the right consistency. So, actually, a trick you can do at home, probably extremely dangerous.
And you gotta get tell you now.
You've got to get a what are those, tea candles.
Okay.
Put a ring of flour around it. Then you put a tube into that.
Into the ring of the
into
flour?
Into the flour.
Okay.
Yeah. Then you get a bowl, a mixing bowl, plastic bowl on top. Not a glass bowl, because it will shatter and smash glass into your face.
Sounds like you may have learned
I've never actually done this. But you got to get the right... Like, the flour has got to be airborne. You can't just light flour that's lying in a pile.
Okay.
It's got to be a puff of flour.
Like popcorn, kind of. Metaphorically.
A cloud of flour.
You know how popcorn pops.
Yeah,
vaguely.
Yeah,
broadly,
okay.
Broadly.
Yeah,
if you allow me to have that as
each of the specs as a piece of popcorn, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get the tube, you put the tube under the bowl, and then you puff into the tube. The tube will puff the flour up and into the fire. The flour will explode, and the thing will go flying. The basin
so
will go flying.
When you said you get a tea candle, is that a lit tea candle?
A lit tea candle, yeah. So we were taking flour anyway. We were firing out this candle in the garden. Nobody died.
Good.
Nobody died.
Good.
Yeah. That was a fun parlor game, though.
Except it wasn't a parlor.
It wasn't in a parlor.
It was outside.
It wasn't really a game.
But I take your point.
But,
being
you
pedantic.
Know, the Regency.
No, it sounds like it was a game. I mean, if Snapdragon is a game.
Yeah.
And also, I feel there's something. And look, I'm getting a bit snobbish here now. Now, I'm from Cork, and I sometimes get a bit of flack from the other geese mm-hmm. as being a bogger. But mm-hmm. Sligo, compared to Cork, it's like it's only appropriate that they would be playing a Regency era type game.
Yeah.
Like that, where you're just hitting lit tennis balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Hey, we're almost at the end of the show. Rory.
Which, I'm going to pick a song for us about, Mark.
Okie doke.
One of my, well, I'll name out some of my other covers.
Oh yeah, let's do that. And then
you can pick whichever one. I don't have that many more.
I'll read out the ones that we're not going to play by me.
Okay.
Others, ones that I liked. Hey, check these out, folk. Make a playlist for yourself. Kate Bush, Rocket Man. Stiff Little Fingers, Doesn't Make It All Right. The Band, Atlantic City. David Bowie, Sorrow. Dexys Midnight Runners, Jackie Wilson Said. Elvis Costello, What's So Funny About Peace, Love and Understanding. Jeff Buckley, Hallelujah. Didn't mention
that's a big one. Down too, except as the worst ever.
Oh!
Not even the worst ever cover. I think it's a terrible song.
I wouldn't listen to the original version because I don't.
But
really
the Jeff Buckley one is so angsty. Like I remember.
It is angsty, but it's the perfect angsty. You know, if you're looking for that angsty, this is the place to go.
When I was 18 and cut up about a girl, I listened to that song because I felt it was so real and true.
Yeah.
And now I look back and I'm like, oh, that was wanky.
Love, Little Red Book, Massive Attack, Be Thankful, Patti Smith, Gloria, Rodrigo and Gabriella, any of the shit they do really. The Clash, I Fought the Law, Commitments. That whole album is good.
Yeah.
Good cover versions. Not as far as I can see clear now. Van Morrison, Baby Blue.
I have a smaller list. Jay-Z.
Before you say your list, you maybe were going to plug something?
Oh, yes. I am teaching an intermediate improv intensive workshop on July 19th and 20th. 12 hours for just €50 in Dublin City Centre. You can find it on spontaneitysports.com.
Spontaneitysports.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It'll be a very, very fun, vigorous, but fun workshop.
Improv is a lot of fun. Even if you've no acting experience or anything, it's all about creativity, and it is really good fun.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't be afraid. Take a plunge.
And it's much less forbidding than you think when you haven't done
it. Everyone's going to be at the same.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. Thank you for that opportunity, Mark. I have Jay-Z, I Died in Your Arms Tonight. Forever Young.
I don't know what that means.
There are two separate songs.
Love, I just died in your arms tonight. That one.
He has a version of that where he basically boasts about being a sellout and makes him selling out sound acceptable.
Hmm.
Fair play if he can do that, and he did. REM's version of One, better than U2's.
Okay, incorrect, but carry on.
And I would contend that Dolly Parton is unique in that she is the only person to have a cover of herself.
Ooh.
Jolene, Slow Down. I think we're all... Are you familiar with this? It was out last year. It was a thing. Last year.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So somebody slowed down.
Yeah, but is that a remix? More something like that? Yeah. She didn't cover... Like, she didn't sing it again.
No,
yeah.
She didn't. But it's a different song.
Yeah.
So we're going to play that one. As we play out.
The whole thing.
About
a
minute of it.
Right. I'll look that up. Jay-Z as well brings in a different thing of samples. That could be a whole different week.
It could be.
Is this the right one?
That's the right one. Just kind of talk moodily all over.
Yeah.
This is
Jolene, Jolene, Jolene.
So that's it. For this week, we hope you've enjoyed Rory and I Recover Version Ramble.
And you can decide if we were just or sufficient.
Sufficient or not.
Or excessive.
Someone's just burst in the door. We gotta go. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Getting away from me. No.
Please don't take him down. cares because you care. Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain.